Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke. I'm your art barista at Let's Talk Art, where I serve up great art for your listening pleasure. If you are an artist who is in need of a business strategy, this is your episode. Today, I'm chatting with Hallie Edlund, creative director of Artsy Shark, which is a proven resource that helps artists to build better businesses. They've got articles, videos, classes, consulting, and mentorship. Hallie's mom, Carolyn Edlund, started Artsy Shark about 17 years ago, and then Hallie joined in. So now it's a two-woman show, and I find out all about what they do. Enjoy! I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is the brand that represents the community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, predictive courses, and predictive coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for 50% off discount on all of their products.
Hey, Brooke, can you hear me?
How are you doing?
Doing good. Just finishing up a bunch of stuff. This new beginning of the year is always my busiest time because people focus on their business, you know, right when for New Year's resolutions and such.
Yeah.
So just getting over the hump of that. How about you?
It's going really good. Just working at Starbucks and doing the podcast, organizing some pop-ups, which is pretty cool.
Awesome. I saw on your Facebook a couple of the art things that you'd been going to, and it looks so fun.
I like going to stuff, and it's doing a lot of my own pop-ups, like, well, not my work, but like other people's work.
Cool.
That's a lot of fun. And we got a spot in front of a vintage store that said that we can do it anytime, which is super, super cool. East State Street Vintage is their name, and they're fabulous. So it's a lot of fun. But I love what you're doing. I love your art. I love your lithographs that you sent me. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
So fabulous. And I love what you're doing for Artsy Shark. Your marketing and your social media and everything you're doing, like helping other artists. So tell me about that. So you're an artist and you know all the ins and outs of marketing and things like that. And you work for Artsy Shark, which is what a company your mother started. And it's basically a two-woman show, I guess.
Exactly.
So tell me all about it.
Yes. Artsy Shark started over a decade ago, and so we've been doing this for quite a while now. And it is so fun to have a job where I do get to work with other artists. I have a very creative job. I work from home, you know, all the things that are, I'm just like, check, check, check. All the things that make me happy. I do the lithographs that you're referring to, of course, were something that I was focused on more in college. Mm-hmm. And then since then, I've been doing a lot more like graphic design, website design. And like you said, helping artists with marketing and sales, and also working on a YouTube channel, which takes up a lot of my time.
Videos are fabulous. I was watching them today and oh my gosh.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's a labor of love is what I was going to say, because it does. It takes so much like time to put this all together.
I can imagine.
Yes, but it's so cool to see it like, you know, take off and also just rewarding to finally like post that, you know, mm-hmm. once they're complete.
Yeah. So where do you get the ideas for them and the information? Like, do you know, is that all your like knowledge? I mean, how do you research them, I guess?
You know, some of it is, a lot of this is repurposing articles that my mom has written for Artsy Shark. Artsy Shark, like I said, we've been around for a while, and then we have like about a million articles. My mom had her own business selling ceramic jewelry through the 90s.
Cool.
And then afterwards, she was a sales rep for Portal, which was actually like selling art to small local businesses regionally. And so she has just a ton of experience with this kind of stuff, and she is my script editor. So I am so thankful to have her on my side while I'm doing these. And then I do more of like the tech end of it, which is like actually creating the video, recording the audio. And so, it's kind of a mutual thing. Both of us come up with the ideas for this.
Cool. And you've got a great voice for it. They're absolutely perfect.
Thank you. And you probably have gone through this too, because you do podcasts, but hearing your voice recorded, it takes a minute to get used to
Oh
that,
yeah, totally. Like, I don't sound like that.
Yes, I'm like, I have like a much lower voice in my head, and you listen to it, but thank you. I really appreciate that. I definitely try my hardest.
Yeah, so that's absolutely awesome. Yeah, I was watching the one about why high priced art helps you sell lower priced art, and I thought that was really interesting.
Yes, that's our most recent one. I just posted that one maybe like a week ago. It's doing pretty okay for us. I think it is. It's because it's an interesting topic, I think.
It's, you wouldn't think it's counterintuitive.
Yes. Yeah, I thought so too. And it's interesting how that works. But a lot of psychology that goes into when we're buying something. And when you're assessing something quickly, a price actually absolutely plays a role in that. For example, if you're even looking for just something random on Amazon, if it's super cheap, you kind of wonder what's wrong with this, and so there is like an interesting psychology to that. And of course, the other thing about creating high-priced art is that it's a big attraction if you're at a show or a fair, selling your own work, having a large, expensive piece that's labor intensive and really shows an artist's range can really help draw people into your booth.
Yeah, totally. And I loved the one that you I think it was another one that you had about the way that you laid it out, like how to attract high price or high I don't know high price people, high price buyers,
Yes, luxury buyers, I
luxury
think, is how
buyers.
we, but exactly. And of course, I think that's a topic that is very relevant to a lot of artists. I think one of the hardest things for artists today in 2026 is being seen. There's so many people posting, there's so much noise online. It can be really hard to stand out, and it can be really hard to find that, luxury buyer. So yeah, that was the focus of that one. And I think that also, goes into the presentation of your work. And a lot of how you're presenting your art is going to really affect how people view it and how people kind of, their first snap judgment, that's for sure.
For sure. I love that. I love that. How did you find out all that out? Is that from personal experience?
Some of it is, and then some of it actually is from research into just straight up like classic psychology experiments. There are tons of like economists and people who've done research testing different things out. And the giant mega corporations and stuff, of course, do this as well. Or even a movie, when they're releasing a new movie, they're going to show it to several different test screenings of audiences. Gauge reactions, get feedback, and then make changes to the movie, and it might even change the entire movie's ending. So,
That makes sense.
getting feedback, and doing that research, it really tells you a lot about people's buying habits. And I feel like this is another thing that can just be kind of an enigma to the average artist who hasn't taken a lot of business classes or isn't really informed on sales. It can be hard to kind of gauge like what's going to work, So hopefully the videos we're creating give people some knowledge on that so they can use that themselves going forward in their own practice.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I think that's so do you you so you're an artist yourself. So you paint and you and so what else do you do besides the lithographs and the painting and stuff like that?
I have done so many different things. I went to art school, graduated in 2011, and then after that, I've done a ton of just varying creative things. There was a while I was actually doing face painting.
Cool.
It was really fun. And it's actually kind of crazy. At a good show, you can make a killing doing that, like
Wow.
over $1,000 in a day. Which for a face painter, that's pretty good because you're painting one kid at a time there.
Yeah.
But I, of course, I have also done a lot of different drawings. I've done printmaking, which I majored in. And then recently I did handmade soap during the pandemic. So I've
Cool.
done all kinds of creative projects. Yeah, the soap was really fun. That was kind of like a trending thing.
Yeah.
If you remember, like Make Your Own Bread was in as
Yeah,
well.
I remember
Yeah.
that. Bread makers, yeah. We still
Yes,
have
pandemic trends. So I jumped on that bandwagon, and it
them.
was just super fun. It's a fun outlet to just like make something, which is, I think, the real fun part of art.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, handcrafted stuff is way better. So yeah, I was reading or yeah, I guess it was reading, I can't remember if I was reading it or watching a video on it, but it was talking about how I think I was reading an article that your mom wrote that like art is you're buying an experience. So original art is handmade and you're not just buying the art or the picture, you're buying like an experience.
Absolutely. It's so funny you said that because that is what my next video is going to be on.
Oh,
That the article that you are talking about. Thank
cool.
you for promoting that for me.
We didn't plan
But yeah,
this.
isn't that an interesting? Yeah, my mom wrote that and I thought that was so interesting too, that it's not really just an object. There's the narrative behind it, there's the emotions, that and the atmosphere that the painting creates. And a lot of people, when they're buying art, are really trying to buy something that fits their identity. They're buying something that feels like them. And a lot of times people can't even put their finger on it and they'll say, I just love this one. I don't know why. And it's interesting how that becomes something that people live with every day, and then eventually maybe you even pass this down to family members. So yeah, it's interesting how art is definitely more than just an object, not like buying a lamp, So.
And or a print at like or like a generic print at like Target or something
Yeah,
like that.
exactly.
I mean, I feel like you can probably because I was reading it and I was thinking like, well, I guess you can kind of get the same thing from a print. Like you can get inspiration and identity maybe from like a print, like a generic. When I say a print, I mean like a big store print, like a Walmart or something like that.
Yes.
But original art is different because it's got life to it.
I agree. I agree. And I think that definitely hearing where the artist was coming from, the story behind it, or even, sometimes when people are buying art, it's like a milestone in their life. Like, say you just get married, you get a commission portrait or something, or, graduation or anything like that. So, yeah, it's interesting how we tie art into bigger things than just owning something,
I love that. I love that. So how do you think the best way for an artist who is making art, how do you think the best way for them to be found is?
That's a great question. And, most people today, I think, are trying to avoid what I'm going to say. But in person is the best way. It always has been, always will be. And there's a couple reasons why. The first thing is that when you meet somebody in person that you're selling to or who's interested in your art, you get a chance to make a connection with that person, talk to them, explain, and it's also going to be a much more memorable experience if you actually meet the artist and buy from them. And the other thing is that if you have like a booth or something at a local fair, an art walk. It's the equivalent of getting traffic of people, that are actually interested in buying and owning art. They're walking around shopping. They're interested in this. If they come into your booth, it's just you're much more likely to make a sale in person than you are online. And of course, if you're an artist at these fairs, you can do things like have people sign up for your mailing list. You could also do things like give away free small prints or postcards. And then you can have those people come back to you online and continue to, follow you, especially if they love your work. But yeah, the absolute best and easiest way for artists to make a sale is in person.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You can create true fans that way.
Yeah, definitely.
So I love that. I love that. So all this great advice that you guys have, and I love that. So tell me why you think artists would benefit from a virtual assistant.
Sure. I talk to artists every day who have needs where they need a personal or a virtual assistant. A lot of it is just because when you're an artist and you have your own small business, you've got, 5 to 10 jobs at once where you're the CEO, you're the artist, you're doing shipping, you're doing marketing, you've got to come up with new content, maybe you're filming, doing videos. You've also got to do the books. So it's a lot. It can be a lot. It can also help to have a professional opinion, if you're not sure what's going on with your business, if you're stuck and you need help. But again, a lot of the times I work with people who just need to delegate because they have too much stuff going on and they want somebody who's going to be able to do a good job and have kind of the background and experience to understand what the next steps are for them.
I can see. I don't understand how people can do it without one. So that's it.
I know, right? It's a lot. It really is. Part of the reason why I love having my mom work with me on Artsy Shark, it's just nice to have two people, where you can bounce ideas off somebody. So yeah, it's just sometimes nice to have a second opinion as well.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I do. I have a brother who
Oh,
lives in DC.
okay, cool. Is he involved at all in Artsy Shark?
He is not. He kind of went a different route and he works in like sales and procurement for like Fortune 500 companies,
Oh,
but
wow.
he owns a lot of art.
Nice.
So it's actually kind of cool to see how when your family kind of all separates, we get older, and then he's like in his 40s now, which is a shock to me still. And he's got like a real house with all this cool art. So he's an art appreciator, but doesn't work for the business. Maybe we should put him to work though.
At least be an
Yeah,
influencer.
exactly. Bring that Fortune 500, to Artsy Shark. I'll have to
Yes,
let him know.
exactly. Well, that's awesome. I think that, so. How did Artsy Shark begin? What was the story behind it?
Well, it actually started, my mom was transitioning from doing that sales rep job where she was going around, working for Portal as a regional rep. And she wanted to do something to help other artists. She wanted to do something where, of course, she has this vast experience and wealth of knowledge about art, sales, business, and really found success there. And so I think it was a combo of starting her own business that made sense for her as she was, kind of changing in her career landscape. She wanted to do more work from home. And then it just kind of like made sense naturally as like a next step for her to start this up. And I know that one of her favorite things about having Artsy Shark is meeting all the cool artists and people that we work with and talk to every day. It's a cool job,
Yeah,
So
sounds like it.
yeah, I think that she had some good ideas there, and I'm so glad that she did because I love being a part of it as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so great. I love that. I love that. I think that's so valuable. I think it's how is this, well, I'm sure it has. How's the social media skills helped your art, help sell your art?
You know, it has. Like I said, during the pandemic, I did handmade soap. I did that for about a year and a half and sold out. So that was a positive to me for starting that up in that specific niche and selling out of my inventory.
Nice.
At the time, social media landscape was a little bit different. During the pandemic, everyone was on social media very actively because there wasn't much else to do, right? We're all stuck at home. There was a lot going on social media. And also back at that time, the algorithms were a little bit more friendly, where you got more reach. And you know, flash forward to today, and it's tougher on social media than it was during those pandemic times. But of course, the things that I did during that time to make sales and get my business out there were running giveaways. I also was doing ads on Instagram. And I also was doing a lot of networking, which is, you know, kind of the behind the scenes stuff. But if you're on social media and you're not actually talking to people or interacting, it's going to be harder for you to get traction.
So, do you think so? You should you talk to other artists, or should you talk to potential customers? Like, who would you be trying to talk to, and how would you find them?
Yeah, good question. What I would mainly do would be to network with people within the niche. And at that time, this was handmade soap making. So I would network with other artists to, you know, kind of get a baseline of reach and also followers. That's the easiest first step. If you're a painter, you know, but really you could seek out anyone else who's in the arts category. And that's just a great baseline to start with. And when you're attracting people like buyers, that's where I would do things like special promotional events, such as the giveaways I mentioned, where effectively, when you are doing a giveaway, you get a list of people who want to own your art. And so, you know, a giveaway, you do need to pay to promote something like this as an ad. And you would need to have rules for your giveaway. They're generally super simple, like follow me, like this post, leave a comment, and then you're entered to win. And doing events like that can really get a lot of traction and a lot of traffic. People tend to go crazy for free stuff.
They
And
do.
so yeah, it works out well. And so when I would pick the giveaway winner, it would be relatively random, but I would make sure they were someone who would actually be a customer. So I would pick a name at random, then look at their profile and say, okay, this is a real person. You know what I mean? Because there's bot or weird accounts out there on Instagram now. And a lot of the times, the people who got free stuff from me would actually come back and buy. So, you know, it's an in interesting experiment there.
For sure, for sure. So how would you promote a live, like a live event?
A live event would probably best be promoted to an email list. For anyone who has a live event coming up, I would say that you're going to get a lot more real outcome from email list subscribers as opposed to social media. I also would remember to start promoting it early enough so that you give people not too far ahead where it doesn't, you know, no one's going to remember. But you need to kind of repeatedly bring this up, continually promote it, and also give it enough time for people to RSVP or put it on their calendar, and come to that event.
Cool. Amazing stuff. This is like so, oh my gosh, this is gold.
Thank you, Brooke.
I love this.
Appreciate that.
So this is just the kind of stuff that you get from Artsy Sharks, and I'm come to expect it. And I read your call read your you guys's columns regularly, and I'm on your mailing list, so I get your stuff, and I always benefit
Awesome.
from you.
Aw, thank you so I appreciate that.
So when I follow it, I don't, I'm not very good at following directions, but when I do, it works.
I know that feeling, right? There's too much stuff going on today. I completely feel that.
So what else you got going on today?
Well, we have a bunch of like we talked about, new videos coming up actually on the topic you brought up, which was so funny that you chose that article to speak about.
It
So we've got some new videos. We currently right now have an Artsy Shark mastermind group. You can find that link on the Artsy Shark website for anyone who's an artist interested in joining and getting personalized help in like a small group setting, plus tons of other like free content and perks. And then I think we are just now finishing a call for artists, but we will have another one coming up around this summer. So for anyone who wants to be a featured artist, subscribe to our email list, and that way you'll be the first to know about new calls.
Cool. So, and how can they subscribe to your email list?
I will send you a link, Brooke, and then you can
Perfect.
put that in the description. And if anyone is interested, they could apply to be one of our featured artists.
Fabulous, fabulous, awesome. This has been so
Awesome.
great, Hallie. I so appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the pod. Always so much fun to come here and chat with you. And I know I've definitely recommended you to a couple people I know as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Awesome. Have a great day, Hallie, and I appreciate you so much.
Take care. Thank you.
We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much to Hallie Edlin for taking the time to chat with me about Artsy Shark. This was such a fun conversation, and I'm so thankful for this service. And artists, I would really advise at least taking advantage of the free articles on artsyshark.com. I have personally found them to be an invaluable resource. You can learn so much by going to artsyshark.com. I personally found them to be an invaluable resource. If you're finding value in these episodes, please like, share, or consider sponsoring my Patreon. As always, thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production. Music by Rue Walker.